Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to continue talking about ministry and money. We've been talking a little bit about how we as lay people aren't doing ministers any good by supporting ministries or individuals based on the whole principle of tithing or giving, because unfortunately a lot of times we're not asking God first. We're not asking to see if this is a ministry or a person that he wants to support. And even what I just said there about the whole concept of a lay group and then a ministry group, that's not what God intended. It's we are all ministers, and we are all have equal access to the throne of God. There is no mediator between you and God himself other than Jesus. So we don't ask someone to pray for us. We pray to God through Jesus, period. So this is part of our change of thinking that we'll need to be looking at how we came to see our role. And instead, we need to start looking at our relationship. Do you have, right now, do you have the relationship with God that you want to have for eternity? Odds are the answer is going to be no. But that's what we want to have as the measuring stick, not how much is accomplished by anyone or how what the outreach is or any other criteria. Other than, are we learning to know him better and better? Are we growing into a greater and greater relationship with him on our own terms, between us and him? When we consider the relationship Jesus as his son had with the Father, that's what our standard is. Jesus was taught by the Father. He was sent by the Father. He was encouraged and ministered to and directed by the Father. There was no mediation there. He didn't go to the temple so that the priest could pray to God for him. And that's not because he was the Son of God. It's because as the Son of God, he would be filling in and fulfilling the law and filling in the gap. He himself would be the mediator. And to do that, he had to start with relationship. He not only taught, but he did. His actions fulfilled what he was sent here to do, not just the teachings that he gave and left us with, but his very actions. He was productive in fulfilling the law and setting the example for this is how to know God. Over time, there's going to be a lot of things that we are going to have to change our belief system about. That's all of us, because we have such a dim view. You know, Paul said we see through a glass darkly, but that is not the way God wants us to, what he wants us to settle for. He wants us to see him face to face, clearly. In your spirit, you already are. Our problem is our soul. So back to the money. This is one of the areas where we can get so distracted. Are we doing it right? Are we pleasing God? Are we fulfilling the requirements? And instead, we want to look at being practical with resources. And money is just like any other resource. It's important to God because it's important to us. If it wasn't important to us, God would be dealing with us about what is important to us. Not because most of us, it is important, and it's very important in ministries and churches and fellowships. It's a very talked about subject in church services, you know, and very often that's pretty much, you're going to get that. You're going to get an opportunity to give in whatever way, shape, or form. It's not likely that that's going to be forgotten in a church service. And that's that way, not because those in leadership or ministry insist that's the way to do it. It's because those who support them have allowed it to happen that way. So we want to step back and retake the responsibility for who we support and how we support them. If you looked at other situations that you put your money towards, a restaurant that serves bad food goes out of business, and it should. And members of a church or supporters of ministries likewise aren't doing ministers any favors by supporting them financially if they aren't ministering the life of God. So how do you know if they're ministering the life of God? Are the members, are the attendees experiencing freedom, healing, and rest? Are the ministers experiencing freedom, healing, and rest? Sometimes it's hard for the lay people to even know what's going on in the minister's life, because it's so important that the minister have that chasm between, because they represent God. Well, again, they don't. When we fail to seek and hear from God regarding who to support financially, we rob ourselves of the riches that others have already purchased. Not talking financial riches, but the inheritance of God. But in this sense, the church at large is getting what she's paid for. If you look around, we have available all the conferences, all the books and movies, and messages and schools, teachings and programs we can possibly stand. Yet we experience very little of the direct relationship with God that changes, frees, and heals us. If you think about it, how many conferences or churches or programs, if Jesus showed up and wanted to do things his way, how many would he be welcome? How many would he be free to do what he wanted to do? Of course, if God tells you to give a certain amount to a certain person or ministry, it doesn't matter what they are teaching, or even if you agree with them. You confirm the source, then follow through. The rest is in God's hands. Likewise, if the Lord decides that the task he has for you requires you to be unencumbered by a typical occupation, he himself is responsible for your compensation. Ministry is not something you choose, but if you are available, God may decide that he needs you working for him full time. If you look to the people you're ministering to, or even to your own finances for support and motivation, you've actually kicked God off the throne of your self-life in favor of the security of the control of your own livelihood, which actually may very well be part of the lesson he's trying to teach you. In our culture, in our approach to ministry, whoever controls the finances controls the minister. It's unfortunate, but that's very much the case. If, as a minister, you feel like you have to say things or not say things, or put your financial house at risk, you're not depending on God. And your ministry is not submitted to God. It is not God's ministry. It is not your ministry. It's whoever's paying the bills ministry. Now, this is something we all have to work through. If you're in this kind of a situation, don't be thinking, okay, you're going to make huge drastic changes tomorrow. Again, this isn't that important to God. It's only important to him because it's important to us. You want to make changes according to his timetable. And this may not be, in your life, this may not be important to him at all right now. So find out from him if this is an issue you need to be addressing. If not, great. If it is something, great. Either way is fine. So how do you know which category you fall into? How to evaluate where you are right now? For most Christians, much time, energy, and effort is spent on ministry in one form or another. Almost immediately upon experiencing salvation, many new believers are told that now that they have been born again, regenerated, they must get involved in the church in order to fulfill additional requirements. There is something within most believers that does indeed respond to these instructions. Somehow know that part of our new nature is to share with others what we have received. Because again, our basic new nature is to give. His giving nature is now our giving nature. Without us even being aware, we desire to share and give what we have received. While acknowledging this motivation, we want to be aware of other possibilities as well. We're going to look at some thoughts and beliefs and strategies and ideas that may prevent us from being susceptible to manipulation, distraction, and discouragement. God is not, he doesn't keep secrets from us. He keeps secrets for us. And he wants to talk to us plainly about the situation, whatever situation we find ourselves in. The Lord knows exactly what you need and what exactly the situation you're in. And he doesn't need help from anyone else to provide the resources for what he wants for you. And again, we're talking about the distinction between a God-sent minister and a self-sent or group-sent minister. A God-sent minister is chosen, taught, tested, trained, equipped, motivated, sent, supported, encouraged, corrected, and honored by God. This is what we're looking for. This is the challenge we have, is who is supporting, not just financially, our ministry. I love the example in the Old Testament about the schools of the prophets. When God wanted to replace Elijah, there were multiple schools of the prophets. But when he selected the next prophet that was going to speak for him, he went out to the farmland and he picked Elisha, somebody who hadn't been trained in the school of the prophets, somebody that he could train to do things his way. I think it's in Isaiah as well, where God asks, who can we send? Who will go for us? He's still looking for you and I to go for him, to minister on his behalf, and to minister what we ourselves have experienced of his healing, of his freedom, of his rest. But now, we're going to talk about some common reasons people give for wanting to be involved in ministry. And if any of these correspond to where you're at, just take some time and spend some time with God. Let him speak to you about your motivations and desires. There may be some healing that needs to take place. Regardless, let him speak to you about your history, your future, and your present. The first common reason is when we think that God's given a vision, a message, or a new concept for the church. Just because God has revealed something new to you doesn't mean it's your job to share it. Part of the process of learning to depend on the Lord is to be healed and freed from our flesh, our self-life. also freed from our history and the lies we've believed about God, His people, what ministry is, and even ourselves. As that freedom occurs over time, we begin to see our lives and what is going on around us in a whole new light. We see things from a new perspective, including from God's perspective. That doesn't mean we are to act on what we see. As we learn patience through waiting on the Lord, we learn His discipline of moving and speaking only as He moves and speaks. Through dependence, if He chooses to act or speak through you, you will be available to convey whatever is needed without interfering with it. Enjoying the work of the Lord as He does it through you. This is sort of emblemized by being yoked with the Lord. It's your working. There's a burden, but you're with Him. He sets the pace. He sets the work that needs to be done. And all you need to do is be with Him. Sometimes God reveals His plans to us just so He can share the joy with us, not so we can take part in the accomplishment of those plans. So again, just because He's shown you something, given you a vision, a revelation, a message, it may not be because He wants you to share it. It may just be because He wants you to know it. So if you have a vision, a message, or a concept for the church, give it back to God. Write it down in as much detail as you can. Then, over time, talk to the Lord about it. Anyone about it, unless specifically directed by the Lord. If this is something He wants to do or share through you, He will make it happen. Now, I kind of liken this to wasting your seed. Is instead of planting it and giving it time to grow, we eat it. We benefit from it. We get the attention by sharing it, and even the joy of sharing it. When if we had planted it and allowed it to take root and allowed it to grow, it would have brought forth much more the sharing of the word itself. Another common reason people give for wanting to be involved in ministry is that the simple belief that God has called us to full-time ministry. The thing is this is absolutely true for everyone who has been born again. If you are a believer, your new spirit nature is to give unconditionally what you have received unconditionally. And you are to do this full time, according to God's time. Now, this doesn't mean you'll get paid, recognized, or rewarded for it. In some cases, you may not even know that you've ministered in this age. It may take the next time, next age, the next eon, for you to be able to look back and say, oh, wait a minute, I did have an impact on this person's life, and I didn't realize it. But recognize that if you are born again, if you've been reborn in your spirit, you are in the ministry. What's ministry? Giving unconditionally what you have received from God, unconditionally. Another common reason people give for wanting to be involved in ministry is, I'm equipped, trained, and ready. I can meet a need. I'm available, I'm ready. I'm in the right place at the right time. Now, as part of our dependence training, the Lord often starts us out in positions where our focus is on forming new habits. He puts us in positions where our temperament, skills, and experience suit a particular situation. The goal is to learn habitual awareness of His personal presence, though not to meet the need. It's about relationship with God, not the doing, not the ministry. But then, often, over time, He will likely put you in a position that you realize you are not able to meet anyone's needs. But because you are dependent on the Lord, He will meet the needs through you. Now, this is key. Remember that the need doesn't define the ministry. A need doesn't constitute a call. For instance, say you're attending a church that needs some carpentry work done, and you are a carpenter, and are even asked to work on the carpentry work for the church. But you check with the Lord, and He simply says no. Now you convey that response, and though it may not be well received, you're comfortable with that decision. 6 months later, you find out that the Lord was trying to shift the entire purpose of the church rather than merely improve the appearance of the building. You also then find you are free to attend to opportunities He sends your way that you would not have fit into your schedule if you had committed to what had been asked. Now, sometimes we say no, and we never know what impact that no might have had, or even that yes. But our security is going to the Lord, hearing His voice, testing what we hear, and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? That's always our safety net. He is always our safety net. We are free then to make mistakes, to try things, to fail at them. We're in process learning to know God. And so we'll pick it up there and look at some other people believe about the full-time ministry and their place in it. We'll pick this up next week at the same time. Until then, if you have any questions or comments or feedback, you can drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. In the meantime, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.